All right, 5 and verse 38 is where we're going to start tonight, 5:38. And maybe I'll get through the whole fifth chapter here, maybe. Kaiton logon. Altu, uk, ekete, en himen, menonta, hote, on, apestelain, ekinos, tuto, himes, uk, pistuete. And the word of him not ye have, all right, in you. All right, the word of the Father they don't have in you. He's lambasting the Pharisees here and the Levites and the high priests, all of them the head priests, in ye remaining. Because whom he sent, that one, this one ye not ye believe. All right? You don't believe it. You don't believe that God has sent me. And so you don't have the word of the Father in you. You don't have the right religion at all. You need to be saved. That's what it's telling us. You're lost. 5 and verse 39. Eranate. Tos. Graphos. Hote. Himes. Docete. In. Altes. Zoane. Ionion, Ekane, Kai, Ekine, Ekane, Asen, A, Maturiase, Perry. I guess that's. Oh, Perry Emu. My book is written up so much I can hardly read the thing. Ye are searching. Ye are searching. Now, this can be imperative or indicative. I believe here it's indicative instead of imperative. Okay? Ye are searching the Scriptures because ye think in them life eternal to have. And those, they are the ones witnessing concerning me. He said, you're searching the Scriptures. You're studying the Scriptures all the time. That's what we call the Jewish pastime. Especially for the leaders in the synagogues to search the Scriptures. They constantly sit down and search the Scriptures, and usually they read the commentaries about the Scriptures. Brother Roger, what are the commentaries on the Scriptures?
Talmud and Mishnah.
The Talmud and the Mishnah. They're not really directly studying the Scriptures so much, but they're studying the commentaries about the Scriptures. And he said, that's what you're doing all the time. You're searching the Scriptures. Because in them you think you have eternal life. But they don't.
This is the charge that they worship the law instead of the lawgiver.
That's right. They worship the law instead of the lawgiver. And we've already discussed, I read to you Gamaliel's report to the Sanhedrin, where he said that, I believe this is the Messiah. And this is before Jesus ever did one miracle. He said he meets all the requirements of the Messiah. And then when he began to do the miracles, why did he do miracles? To prove he was the Messiah. To authenticate. Those were his messianic credentials. So, first of all, they'd already figured out that he was the Messiah. He believed that. Before he ever did one miracle. And we talked about him interviewing Joseph and Mary, and we talked about Martha and Mary and Lazarus, that they had interviewed them, and what kind of a character he was. They knew where he came from, where he was born, the year he was born, and they believed that this was the Messiah. And then he began to prove it when he was 30 years old. This was written long before he was 30 years old, like when he was in his 20s. So now, then he started doing the miracles. Not only did he start doing the miracles, but what did he say to the Pharisees and the scribes? What did John the Baptist say to them? Yeah, you brood of vipers. That's because that's what they were. They were not doing what they're supposed to do. In John 7:52, the Scripture is a means of salvation. In Romans 2:17, it talks about salvation through the Scriptures. And Luke 24:25-27, they fail to see the Christ. In Acts 13:27, in the Old Testament, it talks about the Christ of the Old Testament and the fulfillment of the coming of Christ in the New Testament and of the millennial reign. In Acts, the 7th chapter, we have an inspired sermon there. By whom? Who preached that sermon? You remember who preached that sermon in Acts, the 7th chapter? He was arrested. And he was about to be stoned. Stephen. And he rehearsed the whole Israel. I mean, the whole history of the nation of Israel. And everything was, they were happy. You know, God called out Abraham. He did this. He gave us the Scriptures. He dealt to us and all that. And then he gets down to it, to the end of the story. And he said, and you crucified the King of Glory, the God of Glory. And then they stoned him. And after they stoned him, they chewed on him with their teeth. Literally is what it says in Greek. They chewed on him. They bit him like dogs. They were like the heathen dogs. 5:40. The rejection of the Messiah by the Messianic race. Kai, u, thelete, eltane, pros, me, hina, zoane, ekete. And not ye would. And not ye would. You didn't wish to come to me in order that life ye might have. Brother Randall, what mode is that ekete in? Ekete. The last word in that verse. You see what mode it's in? Second person plural present. Present. Active voice. Subjunctive mode. What does subjunctive mode tell you, Brother Roger? You remember? Might or might not happen. So what is it talking about there? What are we talking about? The human right of volition. It's volition. God didn't create those people damned. He did not create them reprobate. He did not create them to be Christ rejectors. But they were Christ rejectors because they wanted to be Christ rejectors. They had volition. They chose darkness rather than light. John 3:19 and 3:36. And John 1 and 11. 5:41. Doxon. Para. Anthropon. U labano. Glory from beside men, not I received. Lambano. Not I received. I haven't received any glory from men, but only God the Father has glorified me. All of you people have not believed me. They, you know, they all the time, when they would go to the big feast and everything, the Pharisees wanted to set at the head of the table and all that, and they glorified one another constantly. But they did not glorify Christ. What were they doing to Christ? Now, already they figured out who he was. But then after he began to preach, he began to preach against them, didn't he? Because they were rats. He called them rats, and they didn't like it. He just said things like they were. Simple as that. He was kind of a hellfire and damnation preacher, wasn't he, in some ways? 5:42. Allah. Agnoka. Himas. Hotes. Pain. Agapain. Tu theu. Uk. Ekete. En. Hiatois. But, strong adversative conjunction there. Strong adversative conjunction. Page 15, if you want to write that down. In that analytical Greek lexicon. By the way, I brought these things here today. If you look on page 15 in this analytical Greek lesson, it's actually a blue covered book. But this is analytical. It tells you everything about every word in the Greek New Testament. It declines it or conjugates it and tells you what it is. This is something that anyone that studies the Bible really needs. You really need this book. I talked about grammar. Here is Davis's Greek grammar. This is the one I studied from when I was taking Greek. And it's very simple grammar. It goes from a German standpoint. The pronunciation of the Greek is incorrect, but it's pretty good grammar. If you really want to get excited about Greek grammar, here is the granddaddy of Greek grammar. It is A.P. Robertson, A Grammar of the Greek New Testament in the Light of Historical Research by A.P. Robertson. And I mean to tell you what, it's loaded. It tells you Greek grammar from the Greek standpoint and from the English equivalent of it. It studies every particle, every adverb or conjunction that you can think of in depth. Now, what I have in that little bitty short Greek grammar, all the information that is in that is in those books there. But I cut it down to no verbose. It's not verbose at all. It just states the facts. Just states the facts. And if you look in your Greek grammar, go in there. And on page 31, I don't know whether you've numbered yours or not, you'll have commonly used Greek parts of speech and words. If you go in here and you look up these different ones, I've pretty much memorized the page numbers on the Greek and the Hebrew. Roger's been around me enough to know that. I just told you 15 for Allah. See what Allah is up there? Look up there. Adverb, or not adverb, but strong adversative conjunction, but, and page 15. It's page 15 in that analytical Greek lexicon. So I cross-referenced this, little grammar, and I've also, everything in your interlinear is cross-referenced to that analytical Greek grammar, right there. All of your parts of speech are in here, and the rules of grammar are in here, in this little bitty thing. And I tell you, history of the Greek language and the history of the Bible, in short, it's like a Reader's Digest, super simplified, concentrated little grammar. If you want to go read A.T. Robertson, he'll tell you everything about it. That just gives you the facts. All that one does. Doesn't say much about it. It'll give you the rules of grammar, and that's about it. All right.
How long did it take you to learn Greek?
I'm still working on it. 40. I've been studying Greek over 40 years. I've written a commentary on every book in the New Testament and the interlinear, all of them. when I think in Greek. That's my native language as far as my brains are concerned. I have to correspond everything else to Greek. I'm not Greek. I'm American Indian, of course. But what? A lot of times, yeah. I think when I put sentence structure together, I would think how it would be in Greek, and then I put it in English. That's really weird, I know.
So you work backwards from the
Yes. Because I know the rules of grammar in Greek better than I do in English or any other language. When you study, you write a commentary on the whole New Testament, every book in it, and you cross-reference every word in there, and you conjugate and you decline every noun, conjugate every verb, and you're going to have it in your head. I can just guarantee you, it's going to be there. Roger has been helping me write a commentary. He's doing the transcribing for the Hebrew in the book of Exodus. And I did the first 11 chapters, something like that. And Roger's working on the rest of them, and I go back and check him out, because we need somebody to check each other out. And I tell you what, you've learned a lot, haven't you, Roger? Just by transcribing it. If you took the Gospel of John and you transcribed the Gospel of John yourself and did exactly what, conjugate every verb and decline every noun in it and every particle, every adverb, every preposition, everything in it. If you did that, that was a requirement to get your doctor of Bible languages in the New Testament. Then you had to do one book in the Old Testament like that, a big book, not a little one. You had to do a great big book, which is usually the book of Genesis, and one of the large books in the New Testament. And if you did that, that was part of the requirement for a doctor of Bible languages. Of course, you had to have 185 units plus that. Well, I had 9 years of Greek in class, and I had 6 years of Hebrew in class. But that was just the beginning. And I've been teaching Greek and Hebrew for all those years. Oh, well, you had to have 185 units to get for a doctor of Bible languages, but you had to also translate one New Testament, big New Testament book, and one old New Testament book. I don't think they offer that degree in any seminary today at all. I don't think they offer it. They don't even teach any advanced. You're studying here. You're studying advanced reading and research. As far as I know, there are no classes offered that anyplace else, because there aren't any teachers qualified to teach it, because they don't go that deep. Today, your doctorate of theology, Ph.D., is you have like 2 years. A few units, about maybe 2 years of Hebrew and maybe 2 or 3 years of Greek, but it's only baby Greek and baby Hebrew. You don't go into the advanced reading and research. They don't do that.
And then when they do a dissertation, the dissertation is based on new research.
Well, their PhDs are in English Bible. They're not in Greek. No, they don't. I'm one of the last ones that has a doctor of Bible languages degree. I don't know of any more after that. They don't emphasize the languages today. They will quote a Greek word or whatever and pronounce it incorrectly. Everything else. But as far as the deep study, like you're studying here in this class, this isn't available. Here it is, you know. And I've been doing it here for nearly 20 years at this church. Nearly 20 years. Anyway, let's go on. But I have known ye that the love of the God not ye have in yourselves. But I have known. Look at that. First person singular, perfect, indicative, active. I have known this. And I still know it. And I've known it all the time. I've known it since I was hatched, basically. All right? That you don't have the love of God in you. The love of God not ye have in yourselves. The rabbis did not love God. And they loved the praise of men rather than God. Look at that, the word agapain right there. That's the word, that is the word for divine love. There are so many books out there. Just because something's written in a book, it doesn't make it true. How many of you ever heard of Thayer's lexicon? Thayer makes a gross error when he comes to the word hamartia, the word for sin. He equates it with the Hebrew word chata, which means to miss the mark. And he said it means to miss the mark, but it does not mean to miss the mark. The word in New Testament Greek word is ostokio. That means to miss the mark, not hamartia. But it's down written in every lexicon, and how many preachers have you heard say that the word hamartia means to miss the mark? Has anybody not heard that? You probably haven't been listening if you haven't heard it. Yeah, if that's not right. But it's written in a book. But they didn't study enough. I heard that all my life, and I used to preach that a long time ago. That's because that's what I heard. And so I traced it myself. Until I did an etymological study on the word hamartia, when I did that, I was floored. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that at all. It means to go astray.
So
to miss the mark is estokio. In Romans 3:23, you have both words right there. One of them means to miss the mark, which is estokio, and the other one means to go astray. And they equivalent, they didn't see it. I have never read a commentary on it that was correct. But if you know Greek well enough, you'll catch these little mistakes of even the lexicographer. But you know what? It takes about 40 years of study to do it. My Greek teacher, Harold Travis Hubbard, Dr. Harold Travis Hubbard, H.T. Hubbard, at the after I was studied Greek for about 10 or 15, 20 years, I would call him up on the phone because I have nobody equivalent to me that I could study with. You know, I could ask anything. Nobody else was in it deep enough. And I'd call him on the phone and I'd say, Brother Herbert, what do you think about this? He finally told me one day, he said, Brother Jim, he said, don't call me anymore. I said, what? He said, don't call me anymore and ask me any more Greek questions at all. He said, you've gone beyond me, young man. I don't know what you're talking about. He said, you're like talking to John A. Roberts, A.T. Robertson. He said, I never got that deep. He said, I've been teaching it for a long time, but you went deeper than what I ever went. He said, you can call me and ask me anything you want about Hebrew, but don't ask me any more Greek questions. That told you where I was at that time. I was a lot better in Greek than I was in Hebrew. Anyway, when you read something, even when I write something, go back and study it. Don't be afraid to chase rabbits. There's where you really learn. And get a good library. And go from there. Randall's seen my library. Got a pretty good Greek library, don't it? I don't think anybody's got a better one. Anywhere. Roger, you've seen it. Pretty good Hebrew library, too. Don't be afraid to chase rabbits on your own. If somebody says something, don't challenge them right in the room. You don't have to do that. But go and study for yourself. See if they're right. What I just told you about Hamartia is right. You can go chase the rabbit. I did too. All right, let's go on. 5 and verse 43. Ego, elitha, and to, onomate, tu, patros, mu, kai, u, labonate, me, ian, alos, elte, en to, onomate, to, idio, ekainon, lem, lampseste. I have come. Now he's got a nominative singular masculine first person pronoun. That's what ego is. All right. You can decline that in Greek. It's there. Okay. I, and then he has first person singular, second perfect indicative active. I have come. All right. In the name of the Father of me. Now he says the Father belongs to me and I belong to the Father. That's what Mu says. That's genitive singular masculine. That first person pronoun there, that Mu. Alright? Ego and we have Mu. And not, adverb and negation, not ye receive me. Lambanete. In the conjugation of the present indicative active like we have here is oase, omenete, usi, ein. And see here, it's ete. Not ye receive me if another he may come in the name his own, that one ye shall receive. What's he talking about here? Randall, do you know who he's talking about here?
He's talking about his Father, God in heaven, and they didn't receive him.
Yeah.
But some of these Jews may be thinking he's talking about Joseph, who should be king, and they didn't receive him, they received Herod instead.
Yes. Okay, what else? What's he talking about here? Corey, you know what he's talking about? Jacob? Huh? Dakota? You know what he's talking about here? Robin? Sandra? How about you, Roger? Where do you think he's going? In the long shot. Take a long telescopic view of this. What's he talking about? He's talking about the Antichrist. The Antichrist they will receive, and the Antichrist is going to come in his own name, isn't he? isn't it? The Antichrist, they will receive. They will just over backwards, they will receive the Antichrist. He will come in His own name. Revelation, the 6th chapter. Revelation chapter 6. See how far we have to go here. Let's go over to Revelation, the 6th chapter, real quick. Revelation 6. Dakota, are you still doing that picture about this thing? Huh? She's drawing a picture of the four horsemen. Revelation 6. I know I got it in this old wore out Bible that hadn't fallen out of the book. Behold, I saw and opened up the Lamb, one out of the seven seals. I'm reading this from you from Greek, okay? And I heard one out of the four living creatures saying, as the sound of thunder, come. And I saw, and behold, a hephos leukos. Hephos leukos. A horse white. Leukos. Leukemia comes from that word leukos there. And the one sitting upon him had a bow, a toxon, and it was given to him a crown, Stephanos. Stephanos is what kind of a crown? There's two kind of words for crown. We got the name Stephen. Anybody in here named Stephen right now? Stephen means prince, crown prince. All right? Stephanie, a girl's name, that means a princess. That's something you inherit by birth, this crown. All right? Who's the prince in the power of the air today? Who's the prince in power of the air? The devil. The devil, old Satan. Now the Antichrist, because he's the son of the devil, he's going to inherit his, isn't he? He's going to have this inheritance. And this inheritance, he's going to come, and he's going to come to Israel. The Messianic race rejected their Messiah. The first Messiah. But this Messiah, they're going to accept. And they're going to fall right in line with him. And they're going to put a crown on his head. He's going to have a bow. All right, this bow means that he has power for destruction. He has power to fight. He's going to be the military leader. He's going to be the prime minister. And he went forth conquering in order that he might conquer. And when he opened the seal, the second, I heard a second living being, saying, come. And he went forth another horse, Pedros. What's Pedros? That means fire. What color is fire? Reddish. 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 Red fire. Okay? A red horse. Like old Star, Dakota. A red horse. And the one sitting upon him was given to take peace from the earth. Now, this is the one they're talking about here. This is the one Jesus is talking about. And one another they shall slay. And we are going to have civil war and a sword. With a sword great. And when he opened the seal, the third, I heard, and the third living creature came and said to me, living being said to me, come, and I saw, and behold, a horse, Melas. Melas. Black. And the one sitting upon it, having a balance in his hand. In other words, he controlled all of the economy. What president of the United States completely controlled the economy more than any other president that ever lived? Can you tell me? Who? No. What? No. World War One.
Wilson?
Yeah. Wilson. Wilson completely controlled all the price and everything else. He completely controlled it. Nixon tried to put a price level because people were, big companies were gouging people, and they got rid of him. But Woodrow Wilson did control the prices and the economy completely. This man is going to be like that. He's going to completely control the economy. He's going to set all the prices. And verse number 6, and I heard as a voice out of the midst of the four living beings saying, an amount of wheat for a day's wages, and three amounts, measures of barley for a day's wages. And the oil and the wine, you don't have any, you can't touch it. In other words, the working man's not going to be able to afford any oil and wine. He's only going to get enough food to feed himself for his wages. Now he's going to control wages. He's going to completely control wages, wage control. All right? And he opened up the seal, the fourth. Here's the fourth horseman. And I heard a voice of the four living creatures saying, come, and behold a horse green. That's a green horse. That word comes from chloros. It's chloros, chlorophyll. What color is chlorophyll?
Green.
Green. Chlorophyll's and all green trees and plants and grasses and everything in it. Isn't that weird how a cow can eat green grass and white milk comes out? And the one sitting upon it, the name to him, the death and the Hades followed with him, and was given to them authority over a fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword, and with famine, and with death, and with the wild beasts that were trained to kill. Who was the first president to use wild beasts to kill people in the United States? Who was the first president to use wild beasts to kill people? Andrew Jackson. Well, you've studied your history, haven't you? The slaves were running away and going down into Florida and in the South with the Indians down there and living with the Indians, and the Indians were welcoming them. And they trained this crossbreed of bulldogs and Great Danes to kill Indians and black people. And they sent them down there to kill. To kill. He used them to kill. The Antichrist is going to do that in the end time. He sent them down there to kill them, and the one thing about them Indians, they retrained those dogs and sicked them on the white men. Now, this is history. This plain history. That's not arguable. It's history. That's what happened. But it's going to happen again. Again, it's going to happen. 5 and verse 43, and he will come in his own name, and you will receive him. All right, and that's the one we're talking about over there in Revelation, the 6th chapter. 544. Hos, dinaste. He mates Pistiuse Doxon Par Alelon Lambanonontes Kai Tain Doxon Tain Para Tu Monu Theos in brackets U Ze Tete. And how you're able to believe a glory from one another receiving. You know, they gave each other glory all the time. But they wouldn't give the Messiah the glory. Always from one another, about bragging on each other and telling how wonderful you are. And the glory from the only God. Now, God is a practical substantive there. Actually, it's not in the Greek, but that's what it's talking about. So it doesn't do any harm to the scriptures or to that syntax there, putting the word theo in there, even though it's not there, because that's what it's referring to. The only God, not ye seek. You're not seeking Him. All right? 545. Me, docete, hote, ego, kater, kategoreso, himon, pros, ton, patera, esten, ho, kategorion, Hemon Moses, Ace, Ton, Hemes, El Picate. Not ye think that I shall accuse you to the Father. He is the one bringing charges against you, public charges against you. God the Father is bringing public charges against them. That word, kater goron, it means to down see, is what it means. It means to inspect, it means to bring physical evidence in a court of law. It means to bring in physical evidence. The Father, God the Father, is bringing physical evidence against you, something you can see. Physical evidence. Moses, in whom ye hoped. Moses, in whom ye hoped. They hoped in Moses. They got to the period, to the point of time, and the Jewish people looked upon Moses as God, because they received the law from him. And if you use the name of Moses in vain, they would stone you. You could get by with using God's name in vain, but not Moses' name.
Amazing how much trouble they gave Moses at the time.
Yeah, Moses. You know, this is the same people that were going to stone Moses and everything else. They later on, but what did they do? They began to worship the written word instead of the living word. That's the problem. 5:46. He, gar, epestuete, Mose. How do you say Moses in Hebrew?
Moshe.
Almost the same. What does Moses mean in Hebrew?
To draw out, to rescue.
To draw out, to rescue. Okay. Moshe. Epestuete on Emoi Peri Gar Emu Ekinos Egropsin. Four that see that word gar there, that's a conjunction or casual particle. And then we have A. See that word A there? A is a first class conditional particle. A. And that word should be translated to what? Since. All right? The condition determined as fulfilled. That's the first class conditional rule. Condition determined as fulfilled. In other words, a fact. For since ye would continue or keep on believing Moses, ye would have kept on believing me. Concerning me, for of me that one he wrote. He wrote about me. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, tells you what the gospel is, isn't it? The Bible says that God preached the gospel unto Abraham. Didn't he not? Is that what the Bible says? God preached the gospel unto Abraham? Let's look at 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and let's see what that is. Let's see what the gospel is. The gospel means good news, doesn't it? Is that right? I was a missionary up in Nevada for several years, and it took me about 2 years to teach them what the gospel was. It was really hard teaching what the gospel was. I mean, I they taught me. I told them, what is the gospel? And they said, good news. It's the Bible here. This is the gospel. I said, that's not the gospel. I said, I want to know what the gospel is. Can you go to the Bible and show me what the gospel is? This is the Bible. It says good news right here. Right on here. It's good news. Translation of the Bible. Good news. I said, tell me what the gospel is. I said, go to 1 Corinthians 15 chapter and let's look and see what the gospel is. And that's what Jesus is trying to preach to these people. He's trying to preach the gospel to them. God preached the gospel unto Abraham. Abraham preached it unto Isaac. Isaac preached it unto Jacob. Jacob preached it unto his son. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye also received, and wherein ye stand, which also ye are saved, if ye keep the memory that I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. That's part of the gospel, that Christ died for our sins. According to what? According to what? According to the scriptures, what scriptures is he talking about? The writings of Moses, the Old Testament, the Psalms, the Pentateuch, these books of the Old Testament, especially Moses. And that he was buried, that he rose again the third day, what? According to the scriptures. And that he was seen by Cephas, then by the twelve. And after this, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part of them at this present time are already dead. And after that, James and all that. And then by me, the one born out of due time, in other words, an abortion. He told them what the gospel was. And that's what Jesus is declaring to them right here. He said, Moses wrote of me. He told you the gospel. And you wouldn't have it. All right? You would not have it. For he would have continued to believe Moses, you would have continued, kept on believing me, concerning me, because Moses, that one, that's a demonstrative pronoun, nominative singular, masculine, a demonstrative pronoun. He wrote, Moses, he wrote concerning me. 5 and verse 47. Eidei tois. Eikainu. Gramasin. U. Pistuete. Pos. Tois. Emois. Remasin. Pistuete. But since the ones of that one, letters, not ye believe, how the my words shall ye believe? Alright? Since you don't believe the writings of Moses, how are you going to believe my words? If you don't believe the writings of Moses, you're not going to believe my words. Not going to. You won't do it. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. Remember? Search the scriptures. You are searching the scriptures. For them, in them you think you have eternal life. Let's go over to the 6th chapter now. Got a few moments. We made it to the 5th chapter, didn't we? Metatate. Apelthing. Hoesus. Teron. Tais Galasses. Tais Galileos. Tais Tiberi. Tiberiados. And after these things, John loves that term metatate. See that word? Metatate. He just loves that term. He puts it in all of his writings. And after these things, he went out. He went away. That Jesus crossed the sea of Galilee to Tiberias. He went across the sea of Galilee down to Tiberias. Tiberias is on the way toward Jerusalem, okay? Tiberias. 6 and 2. Eculate de auto oklos. Polus pote etharun ta semia ta epoie epi ton asenunton. And the crowd kept on following him. The oklos there. How many's in the oklos? How many's in the oklos? Randall and Roger, you remember how many old folks? At least 5,000 people. There's at least 5,000 people. Actually, probably between 5 and 10,000 people following him. How many have been here on Sunday morning at Valley Baptist Church and have stayed for all the services? There's about 10,000 people come here. Okay? That's how many people were following Jesus. Then. He was of great renown. Okay? And it followed him, the crowd, much. Because they kept on seeing, atheron. That comes from theoreo. What word in English do you think we got from theoreo? How about theater? What do you go up to a theater? You go to a theater to see theatrical productions. They kept on seeing with their own eyes the signs. That word sign there, it means miracles. And these miracles were beyond doubt miracles, divine miracles. The miracles, the divine miracles that they were seeing were his messianic credentials. He's proving that he's a Messiah. Now the Jews did not want to believe him, did they? The Pharisees did not want to believe him. Because he would take away all their authority, wouldn't it? Who had the authority in every synagogue? Who were the big shots in every synagogue? The chief priests, the Pharisees, and scribes. Now, these are the people to give Jesus all the trouble, wasn't it? Why? Because he's going to take power away from them. They know that. When he went into Jerusalem and he turned over the money tables and all that and said that you're bankrupt, your religion is bankrupt, he took his kingdom by the horns. And they didn't want to give it to him. And they wanted to kill him right then, but they were afraid of the people. Because they hailed him as the king coming into the city. Then what'd they say? Oh, Hosanna from on high. They were calling him God. And they said to him, don't you realize that these people are calling, these are the Pharisees, huh? That these people are saying you're the Messiah? He said, yeah. Why don't you tell them not to? He said, because if I told them not to, what would happen? The stones would cry out. All right. Because he kept on doing these signs, which is, that's a ha there, that's accusative plural, neuter. Which is, he kept on doing upon the ones that were ailing. The weak and ailing ones, the sick ones. I tell you what, I was so sick yesterday that I didn't think I was going to live to see the day. I didn't. I was that far away from going to the hospital, and then they would have cut me open, I'm sure. I was sick and ailing. And I'm here tonight. I don't feel very good, but I'm here. The Lord carried me. He's carried me another day. 6 and 3. Anel thing. Day. Ace Kohoros. Asus. Kayake. Ekatheto. Meta. Ton. Matheton. How to. But he went to the mountain. The Horos. What is the word for mountain in Hebrew?
Horn.
Huh? Horn. Same word almost, isn't it? Horos, the horn. Yeah. Same word almost from Hebrew and Greek both. And he went unto the mountain, Jesus, and there he kept on sitting with the disciples of him. He kept on sitting with the disciples of him. What did the disciples and him do when they were sitting, Brother Rocker, Randall? What were they doing? What are they doing? Any of you remember? No, they were arguing who's more important. Yeah. They did. That's what they always want them. That's human nature, isn't it? Isn't that human nature?
Here's a question. Did they address him as Jesus, or did they address him as Yahshua?
Yahshua, I'm sure. I'm sure they addressed him as Yahshua. Or Kyrios, or Lord, or Adonai. If they spoke in Hebrew, looking at the Hebrew, it would be Adonai. Aramaic, basically Adonai. Greek, it would have been Kyrios, Kyrie, if they spoke to him like that. They called him Lord and Master. They knew who he was, but they didn't understand everything about it. They just didn't quite understand that he was going to die and be raised. And they thought that the kingdom of Israel was going to be declared right now, and they knew that he could whoop everybody around. They just knew he could. They could just bring the kingdom right in. Because they thought that's what was supposed to happen. Because the Bible said that was going to happen, didn't it? But there's going to be a long period of time in between. Way over there, where the cross is, all the way over to here. It's going to be a couple of thousand years at least between the first and the second coming of the Christ. Yes, Rob.
Christ spoke in Aramaic. Did the fishermen, Peter, Paul, Peter, James, and his followers speak Aramaic to you?
He spoke Aramaic to them sometimes, but I believe that he spoke in Greek most of the time. When he quoted the Bible, he quoted it in Greek. Okay. Very seldom did he quote it in Hebrew. Aramaic is a slang Hebrew, okay? It's slang Hebrew. And he spoke, the whole world was speaking in Greek. Every now and then, the Greek scriptures will quote him speaking Aramaic. And he spoke Aramaic sometimes. And most of the time he spoke in Greek. When he quoted the scriptures, he quoted the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures in the Old Testament. Because that's what they were common. He spoke in 1950. The King James Bible was the most common translation in the world, wasn't it? In English, the most common translation of the Bible in their days was the Septuagint. That's the one everybody studied. They would go through their little ceremonies and stuff, and they would speak Hebrew. But to them, it sounded funny because they weren't speaking the language. It just sounded funny to them. And they do that today. A lot of the Hebrew children today, when they're going through the Seder, they'll go through it, and they're speaking Hebrew, but they don't. That's not their language. Okay? Yeah.
Peter could be I know he wrote 1st and 2nd Peter, but do you think he had a scribe helping write it, or do you think he...
I don't know. I don't know. Paul had a scribe helping at times, at least he says he did. Peter was a very brilliant man. A lot of people have him as a dumb fisherman. He was not a dumb fisherman. Farmers, they always talk about a dumb farmer, a dumb clodhopper. I'll tell you what, clodhoppers, farmers, have lots of time to think when they're out there on that field. And they can quote and read and go on as they're going. A lot of time to study. A lot of time to think. That fisherman was a brilliant man. He quoted a lot. If you read the Hebrew, I mean not the Hebrew, but the Greek scriptures, you realize that he's quoting a lot of literature that he was very well acquainted with. Let's go a little further. 6 and verse 4. Hain, de, igis, to, pasca, he, erote, ton, judeon. And it kept on being near the pasca. Now, you say to pasca there because that's not in the original language. It kept on being near the feast of the Jews, is what it literally says. And somebody put in here the Passover. The day on which the Passover lamb was actually slain and eaten. Okay, talk about the Passover time. The feast of the Jews. It kept on being near the Passover. All right. Let's do one more verse, and then I'm going to turn you loose on the world. Eparos, un tos ophthalmus, ho esus, kai theosomenos, hote, polis, oklos, erkete, pros auton, lege, pros telephone, pothane, agorasomen, Artus, Hina, Fagusen, Hutoi. And therefore, having lifted up the eyes, the Jesus, and having beheld a great crowd. How many people is this? Is between 5,000 and 10,000 people coming toward him. He says to the Philip, what's Philip mean? What's Philip mean? It comes from Philos and Hippos, that's the lover of horses. From where may we buy artus? Now, in modern Greek, the word artos, artus is accusative plural. Okay? But in Greek today, artos means the holy bread. The bread of the communion, or the bread of the Lord's Supper. Okay? Where can we find loaves of bread in order that they may eat? These. I want to buy them bread to feed them. Where can we find bread? All right, where can we find the bread? And that's the preview of the coming attraction. You're going to find out where we found the bread. We went from 5:38 to 6:05 today. Did you learn something from that? Some pretty good stuff in there, isn't there? Pretty good stuff. Do you have any questions? Any questions? Roger, got any questions? Probably ask me questions that I don't know. He's getting pretty sharp. be like my teacher told me, don't ask me any more questions. You know more than me. Studied it more than me. You know, when you study, when I went to the seminary, one of my teachers kept telling me this. I thought he was full of beans at that time. I really did. I listened to him. He used to say one thing. He said, put it underneath your hat. If you get something you don't understand right now, just put it underneath your hat. In 20 years, you might comprehend what I'm trying to tell you now. And that's true. Just think about it. Study about it. But Dr. Carl Farrar used to say, he said, when you spent 5 to 10 years in the seminary and you've learned everything that you can learn from your teacher, and you got your doctorate degree, he said, all you got was a license to learn. That's all. You did. I mean, if you stop right there, if you went 5 to 10 years in seminary and you quit studying, you're a cesspool. That's all you are, just a cesspool. If you continue to study, and if you learn Greek and Hebrew, and you learn a little German, and you learn enough English to comprehend those other things, a little bit of Latin, all you got is tools, so you can learn. Tools to really learn. Then you can just have a good time learning, because you can chase all the rabbits, if you can chase. Then you can find out whether your teacher is right or wrong. If some lexicographer made a mistake, as they did. Just because something's written in a book don't mean it's right.
I think school teachers are problem solving in general. And the application to life.
We get a license to learn when you get to work. That, and that's what this class is all about. This is a discipleship class. You come here because going to Sunday school and just going to church is not enough. You want to go deeper. And that's what a disciple does. And you're studying stuff here in this class that you couldn't even study in a seminary today. And it's not because I'm so smart. That I'm a student. I am a student. I have never quit studying. I learn every day. It's a continual process. You're never going to learn it all. Don't ever think you can. Men would have to start all over again if there weren't books and libraries. But then you have to figure out, if you study history, you can't just study one history book. You've got to study history from all different kinds of angles. And when you meet everybody and you really have an answer, I'm real good on one-on-one with people, and I try to do that a lot. I try to be available, accessible. And that's what the Lord was. He was accessible one. Even when his disciples didn't want to be accessible, he was accessible to the extreme. We need to be accessible to people. And the reason why you're here is to study so that you can give account what you do believe. And all them agnostics and atheists out there, evolutionists, and heathens, you can give an answer to them why you believe what you believe. When you go in the seminary, the first 3 or 4 years, you are real smart. After 5, 6, 7, and 8, you get to realize how dumb you are. And how much you've got to learn. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a whole lot to learn out there. And I haven't got it all yet. I'm still working on it. I'm still working on it. Well, any more questions before I turn you loose on the world? Go out and do something eternal. Go out and do something eternal. Who wants to come up here and dismiss us in prayer tonight? Brother Roger? I said your name that time. Well, I had to use my chair tonight. Couldn't stand on that messed up foot. Still got stitches in it.
Father, thank you for bringing us here this evening so that we can hear your word, delve into it, be guided through it. Thank you for all the effort Jim puts into preparing it for us.